Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. It's great to be with you today. It is about time. Well, that's going to be the theme for today. And I guess I should actually stretch that out. It's about time that we pray. There we go. That's probably a better way of saying it. I'm going to talk a little bit about the theology of time in relationship to Advent, relying on Pope Benedict the 16th from back in 2008, a hearkening back in time. All right, I'll stop that. I'll be back in a minute and we'll get started.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. All right, let's begin with a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord our God, I love you. And I thank you, Father, for the gift of life, for the gift of knowing you and being able to call you Father because of Jesus. Ask that your Holy Spirit today, Father, would be a powerful interruption in the lives of all of those whom I love, all of those who are listening right now, to experience a sense of your comfort, your tender care, your ministering, Lord. Father, minister to these dear ones, especially those who are heavily burdened, those who are carrying heavy loads and are feeling anxious and overwhelmed. Please, Lord, unburden them. I pray that your Son, Jesus, I pray that your word, your gospel, your good news would be alive, would be true when you cried out, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest." Lord, we give to you our burdens today. We give to you those things that are overwhelming to us today. We give to you those people that are places of wounding, are places of being overwhelmed, that paralyze us and make us numb. I pray, Lord, that those situations that feel like a war zone in our lives would be surrendered to you. Give us the grace to surrender them to you, Lord. Give us the grace to hand them over to you, to allow you access. Holy Spirit, come and be the comforter. Jesus, you promised to send a comforter. And I just sense that there are many who are listening who need to be comforted right now, the old and the young. And I pray that you administer Jesus' divine comfort, comfort that goes beyond what is a mere external sense of softness or a freedom from external pressures. But Lord, minister to the very heart, minister to the core of those who are listening to me right now, those who are walking with me through these days of Advent. I pray, Jesus, please go beyond what we could imagine, go beyond what we can even know about. And Lord, go into those secret places, those secret resources of our hearts. Jesus, we give you permission by the gift of your Holy Spirit to go behind locked doors, pass through the locked doors of our lives, and there begin to release and relieve the built up darkness, the built up just spiritual stuff that is holding us back from experiencing a new sense of peace, in our hearts and in our lives. Mother Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe, patroness of the Americas, please pray for us today. We come to you and we ask that you would be a beautiful, sweet mother in our regard. Be the mother of our spiritual lives. Please pray that we would make time for the Lord. Please pray that we would make a time of prayer a commitment, a priority, a concern for us today, and that we would not permit the Lord to take the last place in our lives, but to take the first place. Yes, Lord, we ask for that. We need you every day for every breath. We're not always aware of it, Lord, and for that we're sorry. We're not as grateful as we ought to be. We don't turn to you with as much fervor and devotion as we ought. But we do so now, and we do lay those heavy burdens at your feet. We lay them, Lord, into your heart, and we do come to you, and we invite you to give us a sense of nearness, a sense of your presence that we have never experienced or expected before. And we say that, Lord, just at your prompting, that is something that you want for us beyond what we're asking for. Thank you, Lord. And I pray for those who are carrying the heavy burden of a loved one in a loved one's situation. I do ask, Lord, that you would bring about a powerful healing of cancer in the life of Allison. Lord, free her, set her free, minister to her, O divine physician. Jesus, minister to her and be with her as she walks a path of chemotherapy. Bless her family, Lord, with a sense of your comfort, Jesus. And Lord, I pray for those who have family members who are struggling with a loss of faith and are stuck in spiritual bondage, stuck in dark ways. And don't know how, don't realize the darkness they're in. Lord, I pray that you would bind up sources of darkness, sources of demonic influence. Jesus, bind them up because of your holiness, Lord, because of your holy will of salvation, that you will for the lives of these loved ones. And we will continue to ask and seek and knock for these dear ones, Lord, until you set them free and they become a manifestation, Lord, of your conquering power, of your mighty grace to heal. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of prayer. Please, Jesus, increase that gift in us. Please increase that gift, Lord, especially in this Advent season. Increase our desire, our capacity, and our commitment and the actual experience of praying. And we make this prayer in Jesus' holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. I felt prompted to pray in the way that I just did because of Pope Benedict XVI. Can you believe that? Yes, because of some words that he said 16 years ago when he was Pope. You're right, he was Pope 2005 to 2013. And in that window, you have messages that popes give during certain liturgical seasons and other significant days of the year. Well, he at the beginning of Advent in 2008 spoke about it was at an Angelus. It was at like a Sunday Angelus on the first Sunday of Advent. He talked about making time for God. Making time for God in Advent because God takes time for us. And that, as soon as I say that out loud, that it's not just a clever turn of a phrase. We may not take time for God, but God takes time for us. It is, and it's not just like this general, like broad sense that God takes time for the world. It's meant to know in a much more personal way that this is very much the theology of encounter of Pope Benedict. So I'm starting this program reflecting on the meaning of time in Advent, really launching off of what Pope Benedict has to say, and then building that out into an understanding of what the church is teaching us about life through the reality of Advent. And we're going to come around to the Blessed Mother. If you listen to Catholic radio today or go online, you're going to get a ton of teaching and recaps of the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe and St. Juan Diego. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. I'm going to end with a reflection on the Blessed Mother as the model of Advent. And I'm not making that up. That's what the Church proposes, the Blessed Mother as this beautiful model of the proper spirit of Advent. Okay, so let's dive in with this. I'm not reading the whole Angelus, just this short quote. This is what Pope Benedict said. He said, "We all say, I don't have time, because the rhythm of daily life has become too frenetic for everyone, right? Too scattered, too frenzied, too just pulled in 100 directions, right? We all say, I don't have time, because the rhythm of daily life has become too frenetic for everyone. The church has good news to announce about this too. God gives us His time. We always have little time, especially in regard to the Lord. We don't know how to find Him, or sometimes we do not want to find Him. And yet God has time for us." Ouch. We always have a little time, right? And it's so blatant and obvious when people say, "How are you doing?" And you say, "Busy, how are you doing?" "Oh, so many things going on," right? That's the standard default answer of, I would say, the majority of people that I talk to. "How are you doing?" "I'm so busy, I'm busy, so many things going on," etc. And it's another simple way of saying, "I don't have any time," or "I have so little time." But he throws in there, especially with regard to the Lord. And it's kind of an exposing statement, wouldn't you think? Don't you think? If he says, "Hey, I get it, you don't have time, but you know, you realize that you actually do have time, and you spend that time on the things that you find valuable, on the things that you find meaningful. You just don't choose to spend that time on God." And when he's saying you're not choosing to spend that time on God, like, the first thing that he's talking about is praying, right? So we're all going to face this reality that this evening you're going to get to the end of your day, whatever time that is. And so I'm going to kind of put a marker out there an hour before you go to bed. What are you doing there in that last hour? Now, there are going to be some who are saying, "I'm all dialed in. I'm very disciplined. And I, you know, after dinner, I clean up and I do this routine. And then I pray, and I pray significantly, and then I go to bed. Or my time is being used efficiently, and I maybe say some prayers as part of going to bed." But I'm going to say that there's a pretty good percentage of us that if we didn't just speak it, but actually wrote it down, what we actually do with the time we have on a given evening, how much of that time is wasted? And how much of that time could have been spent on God? Spent on God. It's a great phrase from Pope Benedict, but I think he gives the follow-up insight on why it is we don't spend that time on God or that time with God. And he says, especially with regard to God, we have so little time. It's we don't know how to find Him. We don't know how to find Him. And that is, in my experience, so much the case when I talk with Catholics and have done so for 35 years doing this church stuff, that The number one question is, I don't know how to pray. I sit down to take prayer time. I take time that is now set apart for God in prayer, and I'm not exactly sure what to do. I can say prayers, but then my mind gets wandering. I can do devotions, but my mind gets wandering. I can read the Bible, but I get confused and my mind gets wandering, right? These are the things that just happen. And then, well, if I try to be quiet, my mind gets busy and then I get antsy and then I better check my phone, my smartphone. And then I'm thinking, is God listening? Is God listening? Is God hearing what I'm saying? And then maybe even a bigger one is God speaking? Are we listening? That's a big deal. And we just don't know how to find God in prayer. Or sometimes, Pope Benedict says, we don't want to find him. It's not just that we don't know how to find him, true enough, but we don't want to find him. And that's a strong statement. Why wouldn't we want to find God? Well, I'm up against a break. When we come back, I'm going to give you what is, for me, I think probably the number one answer. Back in a minute.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
Welcome back to the program. All right, here we are. It is the Advent season. I'm reflecting on time today. This is Dr. Tom Curran. If you enjoy this program, I do encourage you to go to mycatholicfaith.org. Mycatholicfaith.org. You'll be able to get access to these programs in a podcast form. The podcast is called the Dr. Tom Curran Podcast, and you can find that on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, and again, or you can access it right on the website, mycatholicfaith.org. All right. So, and subscribe to it. You can subscribe to it. And also you can find those different social media channels, Facebook and YouTube that I'm on. And so you'll find posts there that hopefully you'll be inspired by. Okay. Taking time to pray. It's not just that we don't know how to find God, because honestly, it takes some discipline. It takes some effort. It takes some real work to pray well in God's grace, but it takes a determined effort. But we don't want to find God. Why don't we want to find God? Well, I think the number one answer is, if we find God, if we truly have an encounter with God, then that will, let's say, completely upset the apple cart of us being God of our own lives. Isn't that the first and most fundamental problem? Whom do we truly want to serve with our lives? Whom do we really want to be at the center of our own lives, thoughts, and concerns? Whom do we really, in our heart of hearts, want to make sure gets, let's say, taken care of, protected, covered, and all that? Well, pride, which is that first and most dangerous, deadly sin, wants us to put ourselves first. Do I really want to let God be God and be on the center, on the throne of my heart, in the center of my life, the primary concern being to serve him rather than me? You know what? That's the first and most fundamental conversion, is away from ourselves and towards God. And that complete surrender and abandonment of our lives into God's hands. And the repentance, the turning away from ourselves, the turning away from sin, and the turning to God, that's the big challenge. And that requires repentance. It requires dying to self. It requires the willingness to go through that death on the cross, that dying to self, the picking up of a cross in order to come to the new life of the resurrection. We want the life of the resurrection, but we just don't want to die. We want Easter Sunday. We just don't want the passion of Holy Thursday evening and the death of Good Friday. We don't want the descent among the dead of Holy Saturday. We want to just leap over all of it and arrive on Easter Sunday, because that's the glorious part. That's like the freedom part. Yes, we want all of that, but we don't want to die. And so I think that's the hardest thing. One of the associated sins with that is sloth, right? Sloth is not laziness. Laziness, or this like spiritual sluggishness, is this interior resistance and repulsion to the idea that our deepest joy, our true joy, is found in God and in doing things that nurture our relationship with God. We would rather find joy in, I don't know, to be silly about it, you know, stream, what do they call that? We stream show after show. I know I'm getting old now. Binge watch. We'd enjoy binge watching some shows, or hanging out and enjoying food and drink with friends and all of that. Do we really want to sit in silence, waiting on the Lord, waiting for him to come, to break into our lives, and to reveal to us those places in our lives that are settling for less and falling short of his glory while we're sinning, and calling us forward to repentance in order to remove blockages and make more room for his coming more fully into our lives? That's hard. That's dying to self. And I would say that's why we don't want to find him, because we don't want to die the death to self. It's always going to hurt. And yet it's the path to life. It's the path to peace. It's the path to freedom. It's the path to joy. It's the path to clarity about the meaning of everything. And it gives us an authentic and profound desire to put God first, serve God above all, and to pursue him with how we spend our lives. And so we would willingly make time for the Lord. That's what awaits us. How do we get there? Well, Pope Benedict tells us God takes time for us. If we're not willing to make time for God, if we're willing to let God be crowded out, if we're willing to let the Lord just be busily removed from our own thinking, Advent says stop and realize that God is making time for you. So again, let's go back to a quote from Pope Benedict. This is, again, 2008, first Sunday of Advent, the Angelus after the Mass at St. Peter's Basilica. He says, this is the first thing that the beginning of a liturgical year makes us rediscover with an ever new wonder. Yes, God gives us his time because he has entered into history with his word and his works of salvation to open history to eternity, to make it into a covenant history. Time itself is already a basic sign of God's love. It is a gift that man can, like everything else, appreciate, or on the contrary, squander. He can grasp its meaning or neglect it with obtuse superficiality. Boom, that is a mic drop phrase. Time is a gift that we can appreciate, or on the contrary, squander. Grasp its meaning or neglect it with obtuse superficiality. Man, I'm going to store that phrase away. Obtuse superficiality. Wow. My brothers and sisters, this is Advent. You have one chance to live this Advent, one chance to live this reality that God is coming close to you. Advent is about coming to. It's not about us going to Christmas. It's about God coming to us. Jesus is God with us, the long-awaited one, the awaited Messiah, the promised one. The people of Israel awaited hundreds of years for the coming of the Messiah. And Jesus came and broke into history. And he's still coming. He's giving us his time. He's giving us this time in our lives, these days and weeks that are leading up to Christmas, the meaning of the time is being threatened by the world around us. It's just being threatened by the stuff, the list of activities that are happening all around us. But are we making time for the Lord? Or are we missing out on time with God? That's why I prayed at the beginning of this program. That's why I'm going to pray again during the program, is that we will more authentically live this gift of Advent as in what's the right word, as a breaking open the reality of time and allowing time to be something, a place of encounter with the living God. If you heard what I just said, if we experience time without the encounter, the time, the movement through time as somehow devoid of God's presence, that's time that is lost, it's squandered. It's lacking in the authentic and profound meaning of what God has given us life for. And so I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. So brothers and sisters, we make a decision today. Make a decision, make an action today that says, Lord, I give you this time. Lord, I ask you, please, Lord, please don't let me miss out on how it is you are giving me the gift of this day, the time, the moments of this day, the hours of this day as places of encountering you. I want that to be the case. I want to live this like Advent. I want to remove the blockages. I want to take away the obstacles that would leave me deaf and blind and unaware of your coming close to me. Brothers and sisters, please hear me. God is coming close to you today. He is. God has made time for you. He has made the time of this day for you, and he's making time for you this day. And that'll happen in a variety of circumstances. Some of you are going to go to Mass today. Some of you have the chance to go to Mass today. Some of you have to make a decision and a commitment and a sacrifice to say, whatever else happens today, I'm going to get to Mass. Or I'm going to take time to pray. Now it's already into the day. And so maybe that prime time, which would have been early in the day, before everything got going, okay, maybe that time has been lost, but there's still time in front of you. And so ask yourself the very practical question, when am I making time? When am I taking time? When am I going to make sure that if I miss something, I'm not going to miss the time for prayer? And then the question is, well, where am I going to take that time? Where's that time going to be utilized? Best utilized? I want to be set up for success. Do I go to the church? Do I go to an adoration chapel? Do I go to a prayer space in my house? Do I go and make sure that at least I'm not in the space where I'm going to be filled with distractions and diversions and things that will cloud my mind and disrupt time that's set apart? Time that's set apart. Something is set apart for God. That's made holy. That's a sacrifice. To sacrifice something is to make it holy. That's the root meaning in the two Latin words in the word sacrifice. Or to make holy. To make holy is to set it apart for God's purposes. Sacrifice some of your time by setting it apart for God's purposes. Wait a minute. God has purposes for the time that you would give to him today? Yes. This is Pope Benedict. God has made time for you. Are you going to let him Use the time that he has for you today to do what he wants to do in your life today. What does he want? He wants to heal a memory. There are some people out there that just came to me. The Lord wants to heal a memory. The Lord wants to cleanse a bloodline. What in the world does that mean? In the theology of spiritual warfare and the theology of healing, in these understandings of things, there are blessings and curses. There are demonic influences and graces and blessings that flow down through the generations. And this is not a strange idea to Scripture. It talks about the blessings that get passed down to the thousandth generation. And the sins impact in family lives as well through the generations, like to the third generation. But the blessings go far beyond that. And you can sometimes see that, right? This is not like something that is so obscure that it's not part of your own experience to see that, oh, look at that. You could just call it a human thing. You grew up in a certain environment and there's certain tendencies that are yours. And all of a sudden you see those in your kids. You know, where did that come from? Well, if that's true at a human level, at a psychological level, at a tendencies level, at a level of influences that just are part of an environment, wouldn't it be the case that the living God, who is a God who walks through history, wants to cleanse that history and prepare that history to be a conduit and a vessel and a portal of blessing from generation to generation? The answer is yes. The scriptures say it. The saints say it. The church in her great theological and spiritual writings talk about this from both the spiritual warfare side, the demonic dark side, as well as the beautiful life-giving spirit side. So if you realize that was what was at stake and you're taking time to pray today, okay, did you hear that? What's at stake and you're taking time to pray today? Yes, you, grandma. Yes, you, auntie. Yes, you, brother. Yes, you, father. Yes, you, son, right? In all these different relationships that are out there, it's not just priests and nuns or people with theology degrees, right? No, it's each of us. That's you. There's something at stake in your today. This is Advent. You get an early Christmas gift. Christmas, Christ is born. It's going to be born into this moment of your prayer today. So where and when are you going to be praying? And then what are you going to be doing? Well, open your heart. Pour out your heart. Pour out your heart and ask the Lord to heal, to cleanse, to set free. Now you might say, I don't know how to do that. Well, I'm going to read a couple prayers. I'm going to read a prayer for healing, and I'm going to read a prayer for generational healing. So, or cleansing of the bloodlines. They're both from the book, Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Laity. I told you that this book has been brought into my Advent as a significant part of how I'm being called to pray. And so you're joining in. You're going to be part of this. And you're going to love this healing prayer. It is so powerful. And if you're in any need or loved ones of yours are in need of healing, you're going to be truly blessed by this healing prayer, as well as the prayer for that generational bloodlines being cleansed. All right, we'll get to those both in just 1 minute. Stay tuned. Hey, welcome back to the program. Okay, so I've been emphasizing, following the gift of the message of Pope Benedict from back in 2008 at the beginning of Advent, about making time for God by praying and not missing out on what the Lord wants to do in visiting you in prayer. And that here, he even just says it. He says, the Lord constantly comes into our lives. How opportune then is Jesus's call, which is more powerfully proposed than ever this Advent, be vigilant. This isn't addressed to the disciples, but to everyone, because everyone at the hour God alone knows will be called to give an account of his own life. And so this idea of being ready for the Lord breaking into our lives and doing what he wants. And my prayer, my sense was, okay, wait a minute. He wants to heal. He wants to bring healing. And so I'm going to pray these two prayers, a prayer for healing and a spiritual warfare prayer for a cleansing of the bloodlines. Okay. So let's start with the prayer for healing. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, you came to heal our wounded and troubled hearts. I beg you to heal the torments that cause anxiety in my heart and in the hearts of those who are praying with me right now. I beg you, and we beg you, in a particular way, to heal all who are the cause of sin. I beg you, and we beg you, to come into our lives and heal us of the psychological harms that struck us in our early years, and from the injuries that they have caused throughout our lives. Lord Jesus, you know our burdens. We lay them all on your good shepherd's heart. We ask you, we plead with you, by the merits of the great open wound in your heart, to heal the small wounds that are in our hearts. Heal the pain of our memories so that nothing that has happened to us will cause us to remain in pain and anguish, filled with anxiety. Heal, O Lord, all those wounds that have been the cause of all the evil that is rooted in our lives. We want to forgive all those who have offended us. Look to those inner sores that make us unable and unwilling to forgive. You who came to forgive the afflicted of heart, please heal our own hearts. Heal, Lord Jesus, those intimate wounds that cause us physical illness. We offer you our hearts. Accept them, Lord. Purify them and give us the sentiments of your divine heart. Help us to be meek and humble. Heal us, O Lord, from the pain caused by the death of our loved ones, which is oppressing us. Grant us to regain peace and joy in the knowledge that you are the resurrection and the life. Make us an authentic witness to your resurrection, your victory over sin and death, your living presence among us. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isn't that powerful? It's a beautiful, powerful prayer. It's not one that we would naturally pray, right? You're not quickly praying about the causes of physical illness in your life that could be potentially associated with sinful things that have occurred in your past. We're not thinking about memories that carry forward into the present, wounds that are holding back our souls, that are shrinking our hearts, that are making it difficult for us to forgive or to surrender. And yet the Lord knows each of those areas in our lives, in our hearts, our minds, in our memories, our imaginations, and our wills. And the Lord will minister with his healing love, his healing presence, his precious blood washing over us. You will be unbound and set free. You will see the Lord beginning to unbind you and letting you go free as you pray a prayer for healing like this. You can pray that prayer every day. Every day. Not just one day, but you can pray it every day. And I would encourage you to seek healing from the Lord. He's made time for your healing. Did you hear that? The time that the Lord has set apart in prayer for you today may not be about repentance and surrendering pride and overcoming sins. It might, in fact, be allowing the Lord to minister with his healing balm over your life. Now, how powerful is that? And so I encourage you that, again, it's found in Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Laity by Father Chad Ripperger, Census Traditionis Press. You can get it online. All right. When we come back, I'm going to dive into this spiritual warfare prayer. And it's a different tone and it's pretty intense. And so I'm going to, I prayed that particular prayer in a we. The prayer itself is an I prayer, but because you're with me in it, I was praying it as a we prayer. And I'll do the same thing for this spiritual warfare prayer. Okay. All right. So even be encouraged. You tuned in today to hear that, in fact, the Lord wants to heal you, that he's asking you to make time. Make time in your day today. Make time for him because he's made time for you and he's waiting for you now. He's waiting for you, Advent. He's waiting. He's the one doing the waiting. Before you're ever waiting for him to come, he's waiting for you to come to pray. So says Pope Benedict. That's good enough for me. All right, we're up against a break. When we come back, I'm going to dive into this prayer for inner healing. Hey, welcome back to the program. Okay, we're going to dive into this spiritual warfare prayer, and it's going to involve some inner healing to it, but it's definitely a spiritual warfare prayer. And again, it's a prayer that you can pray for yourself, and I'm going to pray it as a we prayer, but every time you hear me say we, in the book itself, it actually is saying I, okay? So I don't have it all down exactly right, so there might be a little bit of stumbling in there, but my intention in doing that is to draw you in, that sometimes we don't know how to pray. Sometimes we don't know what to say. Just let this prayer wash over you. Say amen. Amen to this prayer to engage in this spiritual warfare in this time of Advent, where we're clearing away the blockages to letting the Lord come more fully into our lives. Okay. All right. So let's dive in. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, and we worship you. We thank you for sending your Son, Jesus, who won victory over sin and death for our salvation. We thank you for sending your Holy Spirit, who strengthens us, guides us, and leads us into fullness of life. We thank you for Mary, our Heavenly Mother, who intercedes with the holy angels and saints for us. Lord Jesus Christ, we place ourselves at the foot of your cross and ask you to cover us with your precious blood, which pours forth from your most sacred heart and your most holy wounds. Purify us, O Lord, in the living water that flows from your heart. We ask you to surround us, Lord Jesus, with your holy light. Heavenly Father, let your healing grace flow through the maternal and paternal generations to purify our family line of Satan, demonic activity, and sin. We come before you, Father, and ask forgiveness for ourselves, our relatives, and our ancestors for any calling upon powers that set themselves up in opposition to you, or that do not offer true honor to Jesus Christ. In the most holy name of Jesus, we now reclaim any territory that was handed over to Satan and place it under the lordship of Jesus Christ. By the power of your Holy Spirit, reveal to us, Father, any people we need to forgive and any areas of unconfessed sin. Reveal aspects of our lives that are not pleasing to you, O Father, and ways that have given or could give Satan a foothold in our lives. Father, we submit to thee any unforgiveness. We submit to you our sins, and I submit to you all of the ways that Satan has a hold on our lives. O Father, for this knowledge, we thank you for your forgiveness and your love. Lord Jesus, in your holy name, we bind all evil spirits of the air, water, ground, underground, and netherworld. We further bind in the name of Jesus any and all emissaries of the satanic headquarters. And we ask Jesus to pour his precious blood on the air, atmosphere, water, ground, and their fruits around us, the underground and the netherworld. Heavenly Father, allow your Son Jesus to come now with the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Virgin Mary, the holy angels, and the saints to protect us from all harm and to keep all evil spirits from taking revenge on us in any way. Lord Jesus Christ, fill us with charity, compassion, faith, gentleness, hope, humility, joy, kindness, light, love, mercy, modesty, patience, peace, purity, security, serenity, tranquility, trust, truth, understanding, and wisdom. Help us to walk in thy light and truth, illuminated by the Holy Spirit, so that we may praise, honor, and glorify our Father in time and in eternity. For you, Lord Jesus, are the way, the truth, and the life. And you have come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So again, that was from the book Deliverance Prayers for Use by the Laity by Father Chad Ripperger, Ripperger. And he is probably best known for being an exorcist. And he was a founder or co-founder of a religious community dedicated to Our Lady of Sorrows. And I think that they're primarily or principally made up of priests who have this calling to the ministry of deliverance and exorcisms. And so I would say for sure, that's probably where his he's become the most known in the Catholic world today. I discovered this Deliverance Prayers book several years ago, and in times that were like particularly challenging, you know, in like whatever dimensions, right, of especially relationships, family relationships, I would hit that book hard. I would go after that book. I would read those prayers with a fervor and a consistency and like a daily pressing in spiritually. And I found it was to a big effect. It was a great big effect, a big impact. And so these are not light prayers. Right? The two prayers that I prayed today, the first one, that healing prayer, right? There's a couple other healing prayers in there that are as beautiful as that one and some of the language of them. But again, it really elevates out into the open the spiritual battle dimension of our lives of faith. And I mentioned that in the program at the beginning. I was going to finish with a reflection on the Blessed Mother. And it only fitting, right? Again, let's go back to what Pope Benedict the 16th said in 2008. He finished his Angelus address at the beginning of Advent with a reference to the Blessed Mother. The Virgin Mary is the icon of Advent. What a great phrase. She's the icon of Advent. Let us call upon her to help us become an extension of humanity for the Lord who comes. What a powerful phrase, an extension of humanity for the Lord who comes. Wow. Meaning what? Well, what that means is that not only is the Lord making time for you, and when you come and approach him, he will come to you. He's going to bless you. He will heal you. He will unbind you and set you free. He will bind up and cast away the demonic influences of your life. He will take up a home within you. And that word that has been made flesh in you will now come among us into the wider world. You will be an extension of Christ at work in this moment of history. The Virgin Mary is the icon of Advent. What's the Virgin Mary as the icon of Advent mean? She was the one who said, yes, she made time for the Lord. The Lord had made time for her. The Lord came to her, right? We talked about this, and being born in her, she gave birth to the Word for the world. And that's what we can do by analogy in our own way. We can be an icon of Advent in our own space, in our own place, in our own way. Not exactly the way the Blessed Mother did it, but in our way. And that means that in your time of prayer, the Lord is going to come and speak to you. His word will come and live in you, and you'll begin to break through your life into the world around you, to your loved ones. You want your loved ones to come to encounter God? Let them come to live in you. I was just reflecting on this. It was, I don't know, yesterday, the day before. Jesus, sometimes his ministering impact had nothing to do with him preaching. He shows up at the beginning of in the Gospel of Mark. He shows up in the synagogue, and all of a sudden, a demon just manifests itself. It says, "I know who you are, the Holy One of God," and Jesus binds him and casts him out. Jesus shows up pulls up on the side of the lake in Mark chapter five, and the demoniac that is living among the, he's alive, but among the dead, he can't be bound up by chains. He comes running down, and what do you have to do with us? You're here to destroy us, right? And he casts out this legion of demons into the swine. And, you know, Jesus doesn't preach and seek him out. The holiness, you're the Holy One of God. It was the holiness of Jesus that just manifested itself. It radiated forth, and it evoked and provoked responses in this world. How about living that kind of life? How about letting Jesus be that alive in you, that big in you, that he'll radiate forth from you, and you start provoking demonic activity, demons coming out of hiding, healings going forth, and you're not even saying a word? How about living that kind of life? That kind of life is the fruit of our taking time for God, our making time for the Lord. It's the fruit of it. It's not just about gifting. It's about gift. It's not just about having a charism of healing. It's about being in union with Christ, the divine physician, being in such profound union of love, that love of the Sacred Heart, that you are immersed in that love. That love is immersed in you. And now the Lord is living his life in and through you. You receive communion, you're transformed into Jesus. So says St. Thomas Aquinas. So says the teaching of the church. So says St. Augustine. You're becoming what you receive. And then you go forth into the world to bring that light, that presence, that power. That only happens if we're praying, brothers and sisters. Let's please follow the guidance of Pope Benedict from back in 2008. God has made time for you. Make time for him. God bless you guys. I'm at the end of my time. Join me tomorrow.